Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Our good friend Scott Miller, great baseball writer with Bleacher Report, is back on the bench. Happy holidays, Scott.
You as well, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. I was just in Lipstick City. I was out in L.A. for the Wilder Fury fight, so I got back home to SoCalical.
All right. Well, that'll get you ready for the holidays. Come out a bit the sunshine and palm trees.
Right. It was really nice. I had a good time. I tried to convince Mafia to not come back to New York and blow off the red-eye flight home and just stay in L.A. and find our way, start a new life. You know, I'm so used to it.
Maybe a little stop at In-N-Out Burgers or Tommy's in L.A. or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, a little trip down to maybe Hermosa to hit the Strand, maybe hit a little surf in Huntington Beach, you know, try to get in.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Bryce Harper, your story on Bryce Harper was fantastic, and I think it's a great point. The money that this guy is, you know, obviously Boris is trying to get him, right? Isn't that his agent? Am I wrong about that? So
No, you're right. Yep.
Tell me the story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scott Boras is looking at Bryce Harper to set a record for a free agent haul, and I think he's probably going to get it. I mean, the record contract right now in baseball is when the Marlins signed Giancarlo Stanton to a $325 million deal, 13 years, $325. Of course, they traded him to the Yankees. You know, Bryce Harper was offered $300 million, 10 years, $300 million late September by the Washington Nationals, turned it down, and that's basically a starting point. And there, for 2 years now, a lot of people have been speculating, is this guy going to hit a $400 million contract? I don't know if it's going to go that high, but him declining the $300 million offer from the Nationals tells you that that's kind of a starting point for him and Boris. So, you know, it'll be awfully fascinating over the next couple of weeks.
So, but his numbers were down last year. Does that make anyone nervous?
Yes. Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, I talked to a number of executives for the story you mentioned, and it still seems like he's going to get his money, but you're right. He was a National League MVP in 2015 and has not replicated a season like that since. You know, 2016, he was disappointing. 2017, he might have been on track for another MVP award. He was going pretty good in early August when, in a rainy game, he slipped on first base, hyperextended a knee, and he ended up missing, you know, about 5 weeks, and that knocked him out of the 2017 MVP race. And then last year, at the All-Star game, he was only hitting .214. He was, you know, a victim of the shifting that goes on in baseball. And, you know, some people wonder if this is such a generational player, why did the shift bother him so much? But, you know, flip side of that is he's also only 26 years old. That's the key to the free agency, Scott, is, you know, Bryce Harper – is just 26 as a free agent, which means he ought to have another 5 or 6 years left of his prime, which is why, you know, Boris will be asking for the record contract.
So, Scott Miller with his Bleacher Report, where do you think, like, because you've written about, you know, the Phillies, the White Sox, the Yankees, Dodgers, Giants. I don't believe the Mets, after they got Cano and Diaz or whatever, right, the pitcher, the closer, I don't think they're going to get him, but these other teams that you mentioned, of all those heavyweights, which one do you lean to the most if you were guessing?
Yeah, I lean toward the Phillies. I really think they've got a lot of money saved because, you know, as their general manager, Matt Klentak, said, you know, back when the Phillies had it going, when they won the 08 World Series and they returned to the World Series in 09, that was back in the Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Roy Halladay days. When they had it going, they had one of the top payrolls in all of baseball. Well, when that cycle ended and they had to go into the rebuilding phase, you know, they, you know, as teams do when they rebuild, they cut their payroll way down. So they're just coming out of that. They challenged Atlanta for first place this past summer until they went into a swoon in September. Phillies were only 8-20, and that knocked in the month of September. That knocked them out of the race. But the first 5 months of the year, Phillies were reading it like their rebuilding is just about done and they're entering a window where they're ready to win. Now, that combined with the money they've saved from rebuilding, they've got a fair amount of money in the bank, and they do not have many payroll commitments over the next 3 or 4 years. I think as we speak right now, they've only got about $50 million committed to next year's team, $50 the year after. And, you know, it drops down 3 years from now to, like, they've only got like $15 million on the books for players. So they've got, they're willing to spend. They don't have many commitments in the future. They've got, so in other words, that means they could write a big check for a player like Harper. And he's a guy like him is exactly who they're looking for to kind of, you know, make that solid swing for the fences and try to win. So I think the Phillies get him or Manny Machado. And I think after they acquired Segura the other day from Seattle, I think Bryce Harper, they're going to take a significant run at him.
So you wrote about Machado as well and his tarnished image with all the, you know, speculation about his laziness and that he doesn't, you know, not Charlie Hustle or anything, and he's willing to admit that. And he kind of had a rough, you know, postseason image-wise, but I still think at the end of the day, he's going to get his fat stacks too.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, because like one executive told me in the Machado story, you know, there might be a number of teams that are questioning him after the month of October, after he said, "I'm not Johnny Hustle, hustling's not my cup of tea," some of the stuff he pulled. There may be a number of teams that you know, say have become reluctant to touch him. But as one executive told me, it only takes one team. You know, it only takes one to step up and offer the big fat payroll or the fat salary, as you mentioned. And you know, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if six teams maybe aren't as interested in you because they didn't like what they saw in October. You find that seventh team that's willing to fork over the money, and it really doesn't matter. And I do think there will be somebody, you know, whether it's the Phillies, the White Sox, or whomever. You know, White Sox might be a good gamble for him too, because, you know, they were 62-100 last year, disappointing. They've had a couple rough years in a row. We do know their owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, is, you know, he's a winner. You know, he was the guy that owned the Chicago Bulls in the Michael Jordan years, and he wants to give Chicago a winning team. He understands the value of marquee players. You know, they've had Paul Konerko retire a couple years ago, and, you know, they've kind of drifted for a couple years. So, you know, I don't know if Machado will end up with the White Sox or not, but I think they are a dark horse, no question.
How about people saying he's throwing temper tantrums on the field by, you know, doing things like kicking Aguilar's leg and everything and his behavior? But I could actually see the Yankees going after him because of their need with Didi out until midseason. Yep. What's the point? At that point, just go get Machado and forget about Didi.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Didi underwent Tommy John surgery, and he's out until July. So, I mean, Machado certainly fits with the Yankees a lot. And, you know, those close to Machado say he's always been enamored with New York. He likes the big stage. He'd love to play in New York. So I think the Yankees, you know, they're certainly a significant suitor as well. Hal Steinbrenner, their owner, said at the owners' meetings last month that, you know, he addressed Machado's not Johnny Hustle comments. And he said, you know, if Brian Cashman wants to sign him, you know, he didn't say no, Hal Steinbrenner, but he said, you know, basically, we're going to have to sit down and have a serious conversation with Machado about, hey, what were you talking about there? And, you know, we don't want to sign a guy if he's not going to, you know, put out 100%. And, you know, I'm sure Machado will say the right things, do the right things. Obviously, his track record in Baltimore, 6 years in Baltimore, pretty solid. So, you know, but he will have some explaining to do, whether it's the Yankees that want to sign him, the White Sox, or somebody else.
So what do you think of the Goldie deal in St. Louis? He's going to be a star there, I think, like Martinez is in Boston. This guy can flat-out play, and St. Louis is such a great baseball town. He'll fit in there like a glove. I thought Arizona, they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the best thing for him when he was with Arizona came 2 years ago, the second half of the year, when the Diamondbacks acquired J.D. Martinez from Detroit. And, you know, Martinez shows up and, you know, all of a sudden Goldschmidt has somebody to help him carry the team, because, you know, over the past, most of the past 5 or 6 years, man, there's been so much pressure on Goldschmidt in Arizona. You know, it's like he's been the franchise player, but he's been the one that has to continue to carry the team on his back. I think he'll find it refreshing in St. Louis. I think, you know, obviously great baseball city, a team that generally speaking is contends. You know, they win there. There's great tradition. And, you know, it's a no-nonsense Midwestern city, and that you know, Goldschmidt's kind of a no-nonsense guy, too. He doesn't have to, you know, he's not a Hollywood guy. He doesn't have to, you know, he's not flamboyant. He doesn't carry himself with a bunch of swag. You know, he's just good, old-fashioned, you know, blue-collar work ethic kind of guy, and I think he's going to fit in really well in St. Louis. And it'd be interesting to see what else the Cardinals do. You know, the one thing that worries me with their concern is now that means Matt Carpenter flips back over to third base. I'm not sure they're going to have the best infield defense, partly because of that. But, you know, the other thing is you got Goldschmidt and probably Marcelo Zuna in the middle of the lineup. But, you know, Cardinals are close enough. I think if they made another move or two, you know, they could turn themselves into favorites in that NL Central.
Yeah, I'd agree with you that they need to do something else. I think if they're satisfied with Goldschmidt, it's a mistake. They have to go a step further, yep, and get someone else besides him. It's more like a Pujols thing. They had Pujols. He was their star bat forever. That's what they've done here. Now they need to go to the next level and get another or two more players, like another player and another pitcher. They lost that Weaver kid in this deal. I got to ask you about Eovaldi. Yep. Is Eovaldi's deal going to get done in Boston?
Yeah, it seems like there's momentum there right now. And I know the Red Sox love him, and how could they not? I mean, that World Series game that went 18 innings that, you know, he pitched, you know, the last, you know, what was it, like 7 innings or whatever. I mean, nobody could have impressed a team more than Eovaldi impressed the Red Sox that night. I mean, that was game 4. They ended up losing. It could have been a crushing loss, but, you know, it was interesting. After that game, you know, it went on forever. That was a 7.5-hour game. Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, gathered his team. They had a brief team meeting after that game, and they toasted Eovaldi, even though they lost. And Rick Porcello even admitted, he said, after that game, he said, we were talking, toasting Eovaldi. And Porcello said, I had tears in my eyes because that was one of the most incredible, gutsiest efforts I've ever seen. So the Red Sox saw that firsthand. Absolutely, that had to increase their interest in signing Eovaldi. I know they liked him already. That's why Dave Dombrowski traded for him at midseason. But after they watched him do what he did, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm like, man, you're a keeper. There's no way I'm letting you go. You know, you got to stay with us because the Red Sox saw everything Eovaldi was about. They saw that night. And I don't know how anybody could have been more impressive.
Lastly, Scott Miller, the great Scott Miller, of course, the Bumgarner situation in San Francisco. I think that they have to do something. They've always been that way. And when I remember when Bonds went there, they've always had that big, you know, splashy move that stuns everyone. And I think they're going to have to move this guy if they're planning on mattering again in the West. I mean, they cannot go out and look like they did this year again next year unless they want to have empty seats and problems. I think they should deal him.
Yeah, I think I think with their new president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, I think that increases the odds that they're going to trade Bumgarner because, you know, Zaidi was, of course, Andrew Friedman's right-hand man with the Dodgers. You know, Zaidi is a new age baseball guy that looks at things analytically. And, you know, I don't care whether you look at things analytically, old school wise, or sideways right now with the Giants. You got to determine if you're running that team, we need to make some moves. And I think he will, and Bumgarner very well could be the guy. The thing that would be most interesting to me with that franchise, Scott, is I think the Giants clearly are going to undergo a significant rebuild in the near future. I mean, that's why you bring in a guy like Farhan Zaidi. Now, this is a start immediately this winter where you start trading guys away and trying to get younger, or do you make a move or two this winter and give it one more chance to win? And part of the reason that all becomes so interesting is because – you know, they've got the old veteran manager, Bruce Bochy, who led them to 3 World Series titles. His contract goes one more year. He's in his early 60s. He's not talked about retirement or anything, but I clearly, you know, he's getting of that age. And I don't know that Bochy will want to go through a total rebuild. So one of two things. I mean, I think he'll be gone at the end of the year. I think because that's the way the Giants are headed, do a total rebuild. So the question to me is, if you're Farhan Zaidi and the Giants, do you try to give it one more go this year to try to win, you know, maybe dabble a little bit with reshaping the roster, maybe trade Bumgarner, but still not completely strip it down, try to win, figuring we've got the veteran manager, Bruce Bochy, one more year, and if it doesn't work this year, his contract's up, and we probably just go full-bore rebuild. Or do they do that now? That, to me, is the most interesting thing with the Giants.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I actually think that that type of thinking, that they could, you know, make one more run as is frankly, not going to work, because they are who they are, and that's exactly who they were last year, and it's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. I think the best thing to do, frankly, would be to get rid of him and strip it and start anew altogether and really stun people and in the offseason, get rid of Bochy and go in a different direction, because that team as it is now is as flat as a pancake. Scott, great stuff. Have a great Christmas, New Year's, all of that. I love you. Always a pleasure having you on the bench.
You as well, Scott. Same right back to you. And we'll maybe talk to you in the new year. We'll see what happens at the winter meetings next week in Las Vegas. And then we'll be opening Christmas presents and popping champagne for the new year. And we'll talk to you soon.
There he is. Scott Miller getting ready to go play free bet blackjack in Vegas next week.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.